Good morning, Lillooet, and welcome to another day of live broadcasting here on CHLS 100.5 FM. My name is Jeff O'Kelly. This program is News Button, and I'll be with you until 9 o'clock. We started out with a very modest but also very lovely piece there. That was the Gondolied or Gondola song in F major. Music by Ferdinand David. I just have to check this. Yes, Ferdinand David. He was a violinist in the 19th century. What we heard there was an arrangement of the David's original, which was for violin and piano, and all arranged there into two hands for the piano by Franz Liszt, and a recording with Leslie Howard. And we're going to listen to two more of those pieces by Ferdinand David. They come from a series called Bunte Reihe. I'll get into that later. But right now, we better do the weather and road reports. Okay, well, the winter storm warning that was in effect for, I guess, the past 2 days, that's now been lifted. Environment Canada says we received zero, again, they're saying 0.0 millimeters of precipitation. There's obviously something wrong with their precipitation register, whatever you call it, since snow was coming down all day yesterday, though very lightly most of the day. Yesterday's low, minus 8.7, the high made it up to minus 5.6. Temperatures haven't been climbing quite the way that the Environment Canada has been saying they would. I think we were supposed to hit minus one yesterday, and we just didn't break that minus five level. As of 7 a.m., the temperature at minus six, and Environment Canada telling us it will be cloudy today, and they're claiming we will have a high of plus one, but I would take that with a grain of salt, because over the past week or so, especially the past 3 or 4 days, they've been off by 4 to 5 degrees, usually predicting warmer when it's been colder. Tonight, cloudy, a low of zero, they say. Tomorrow, clearing and a high of plus three. Thursday, a mixture of sun and cloud, a low of zero, a high of plus two. Friday, cloudy with a 30% chance of showers, a low of minus one, a high of plus three. And Saturday, a mixture of sun and cloud, a low of plus one and a high of plus three. So those plus temperatures, if we make it into them, not quite as high as they were predicting yesterday. On the other hand, there's less precipitation coming than they were predicting. So we are going to, if we make it into plus territory, have to face some slush, but it won't be quite as bad as if it were raining. Taking a look at conditions across the country, temperatures have moderated in a lot of areas over what they were yesterday, except for the extreme north. But they're still pretty cold in most places. Halifax, minus 15 degrees with a light snow shower. I just want to take a look at St. John's. There it is. Yeah, they were nice and warm at plus 9 yesterday. They're down to minus 6, so things have cooled off in the east, obviously. Montreal, minus 16 and mostly cloudy. Toronto, light snow and minus 11. In Iqaluit, it is minus 30 degrees and they have ice crystals. Winnipeg, light snow at minus 19. Regina is minus 21 and mostly cloudy. Yellowknife, clear and minus 32. Edmonton is minus 18 and partly cloudy. Calgary, light snow and minus 15. Whitehorse, coldest place on this list of Canadian cities, at minus 36 degrees. And it is clear there. Let's see, closer to home, Clinton. I forgot Prince George. Minus 13 degrees with light snow. Clinton, cloudy and minus 8 degrees. They still have a winter storm warning in effect. They were the only place I saw that did. Though there may be some other areas in the northern part of the province, it does sound like they have more conditions to expect. Hope, plus 1. Sky conditions not available. Kamloops, mostly cloudy and minus 4. And Pemberton, it is minus 1. And Vancouver is very warm, 10 degrees and mostly cloudy. Turning to the highways, quite a few things here, so you're going to have to pardon me. Although I've read through the page here, I'm just kind of picking them as they come. Normally, I kind of make notes about which ones to read. Let's see, we should mention that Highway 1, if you're planning on traveling far east in the province, currently closed in both directions from Craigellachie to Revelstoke because of high avalanche hazard. There will be avalanche control and debris removal and that sort of thing going on from 8 a.m. until 1 p.m. today. Next update on the Drive BC website will be at 10 a.m. I should also mention Highway 1 is closed between Highway 9 and the Flood Hope Road due to falling rock. Detour via Highway 9 to Highway 7, that's the Agassiz turnoff. Site assessment delayed due to local weather conditions. Estimated time of opening is between 9 and noon today. Next update will be at 9 a.m. on the Drive BC website. And then we're moving into more normal just conditions here. So Highway 1, compact snow, slushy with slippery sections from the summit of Jackass Mountain down to Yale, as well as freezing rain on the same portion of the highway. Further down in the Fraser Valley, water pooling on Highway 1 between Hope and Abbotsford. Let's see, moving in the other direction on Highway 1, compact snow with slippery sections from the summit of Jackass Mountain to Spence's Bridge. Blowing snow with limited visibility from Spence's Bridge to 10 kilometers east of Cache Creek, and compact snow on that same section of the highway. Compact snow from 10 kilometers east of Cache Creek on over to Kamloops. And then we can skip down to Highway 12, compact snow with slippery sections between Lillooet and Lytton. Highway 40, compact snow with slippery sections from Lillooet to Goldbridge. And on Highway 99 South, compact snow with slippery sections from Lillooet to the Cane Creek Bridge. Highway 99 North, compact snow with slippery sections from Lillooet to the Hat Creek Corner. And then from the Hat Creek Corner on over to the junction with Highway 97, there is compact snow as well as blowing snow with limited visibility. And finally, I think that's it for the roads. It's still not as bad as yesterday. Many schools still out, not in our area, obviously, but Kamloops School District, the entire district still closed, and a few others as well. People in Hope suffering from power outages, and they have school closures there as well. So, yeah, it's been something of a winter storm, but Lillooet received, we were just kind of on the very edge of it. I looked at some radar of it yesterday, and we were kind of in between two masses of winter storm, one that was centered towards the south coast and one centered towards the Okanagan and the Kootenays, and we were in the semi-dry spot. All right, that is it for weather and roads. Let's go back to the music, and we're going to hear two more pieces by Ferdinand David, who was born in 1810, died in 1873. The thing that Ferdinand David is primarily remembered for is that he gave the premiere performance of the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto. He was a friend of Mendelssohn's, actually helped Mendelssohn in preparing and just giving a little bit of advice, even though Mendelssohn probably didn't need much advice on how to write for the violin, although he was a pianist himself. He had been writing brilliantly for strings since he was about 12 years old. As a result, Ferdinand David also received the dedication in the published score of the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto. But he wrote a fair amount of music, some of it instructional in nature, and I'm guessing maybe that was the intent. Sorry, my apologies. I'm guessing that was the intent behind this set of 24 pieces called a Bunta Raya. That has been translated literally here as a miscellany. But we should I should point out that a couple of things. First of all, the word Bunta in German, it also means colored or multicolored. And so there is a suggestion that these pieces are colorful and well as providing a lot of variety, which they do indeed. And furthermore, there are 24 of them, and they cover all 24 major and minor keys. And there's a lot of music that there are a lot of keys that don't get used all that often for the violin. Keys like F sharp major and probably B flat minor, and I could think of a few more. So I think that Ferdinand David was also providing students and violinists a chance to play in these keys just to see what the difficulties would be. Anyway, Franz Liszt came along, liked these pieces well enough that he arranged them. It's interesting because Ferdinand David's style in his compositional style in these pieces is much closer to the works of someone like Mendelssohn or Schumann, composers that, although Liszt had admiration for, he was working in totally different directions. But still, Liszt liked this music enough that he decided to arrange it for piano. Not really sure if he was intending it for his own use as performance material or for somebody else. Anyway, let's hear two more of the pieces from the Bunta Raya. We'll hear the Romance in F-sharp major, and then a piece called Im Sturm, in the storm, in F minor. And the pianist, once again, is Leslie Howard. We've been listening to music by Ferdinand David, a German violinist. He wrote those pieces for violin and piano, but we heard them in an arrangement by Franz Liszt. We heard the Romance in F sharp major and then Im Sturm in the Storm. And as you can tell from the piece we finished there, the Im Sturm and its galloping ending. They're short, modestly scaled pieces, but that doesn't mean they are easy. That's a bit of a workout for the pianist. Leslie Howard playing there, a real Liszt specialist, and so far as I know, the only person who has ever recorded this set of pieces called the Bunte Reihe by David, as arranged by Franz Liszt. It is 8:20. Let me tell you what's coming up today on Radio Lullabot. When Snooze Button wraps up, I'll be putting on Bobcat Logic. If you haven't heard that yet, I urge you to give it a try. That's heard on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. and then again on Thursdays at 4 p.m. right after Democracy Now! Bobcat Logic is put together by local resident Michael Hawes, and it contains musings, ruminations, and storytelling, and really interesting, so give it a try. That'll be followed by music from the Jazz Blues Soul playlist later today. Student broadcasters Julia and Reza, they're in the time slot from 2 until 3 p.m. on weekdays. They'll be continuing that till the end of January. 3 o'clock is Democracy Now!, and then it's music from the Rock Pop playlist after that. 7 o'clock is an encore presentation of Music for the Middle Ages with your hosts Jim and Aura. You can find the details of the schedule on the website, radiolillowet.ca. It is 8:21. I don't have any major stories or anything like that to tell you about. I will mention, I don't know what to think about this story. I just ran across this on the CBC website. Somebody in Great Britain who spent $500 to have their pet goldfish unconstipated. It was a vet bill. Fair enough. I guess if you really care about the goldfish and you've got the money, okay. I'm a pet owner, and I understand one develops attachments, but $500 attachment to a goldfish? I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's interesting. Okay, let us carry on. I was tempted to put together a show of wintry, snowy music, that sort of thing, but I'm glad I didn't, since the predictions of more snow didn't turn out to be true at all. However, we are going to have a little homage to winter here in the form of music by Tchaikovsky. We're going to listen to the second movement that comes from his Symphony No. 1 in G minor. That symphony is subtitled Winter Dreams. This music is from 1866, if my memory is serving me correctly. I think Tchaikovsky was in his late 20s at the time. Tchaikovsky was always suffering from one thing or another. I mean, he seems to have been not a terribly happy man at just about any point in his life, maybe moments or hours here or there. At the time he was writing this symphony, he seemed to be suffering primarily from hypochondria. He felt like he was going mad. He felt like he was having strokes every hour. It was seemingly intolerable for him. But nevertheless, he kept working on it. And he did something that he was to continue to do later in his career. He was always submitting his scores to other more senior Russian musicians to take a look at and offer criticism of. And one of the people that he usually did this with was Nikolai Rubinstein, the brother of Anton Rubinstein, the great pianist. Nikolai himself was also a great pianist. Anyway, as was always the case, Nikolai Rubinstein disapproved of just about everything Tchaikovsky wrote, and was very harsh in his criticisms, which unfortunately was exactly what Tchaikovsky had asked for, and it was not really what he needed. He needed somebody who was a little more diplomatic in their approach to things. But he somehow persisted with his symphony, despite getting a lot of discouragement from Nikolai Rubinstein and others. And although the work did not meet with any particular public success, excuse me, still suffering from something here. The work did not meet with great public success in his lifetime. It still has not, I guess, become one of his more popular symphonies. Numbers 4, 5, and 6 have overshadowed the first three quite a bit. But I think this piece is worthy to stand alongside those. And we're going to listen to the second movement of it, which is subtitled Land of Gloom, Land of Mists. Yeah, I guess it's I can see where the gloom is coming from, except I would say really more it's melancholy than gloom, and it's a pleasurable kind of melancholy. What Tchaikovsky does in this symphony, in this movement, is really quite wonderful. Rather than following traditional forms that were established essentially in the classical period, which would require at least two major contrasting themes in the movement. Tchaikovsky basically just uses one theme and he just sort of unwinds it over the course of the movement and repeats it at times and varies the orchestration, but he doesn't try to do too much. And as I say, there's no real contrasting section in the movement, but it all works very, very beautifully. And as always with Tchaikovsky, there's some gorgeous writing for the woodwinds. Let's listen to the Philadelphia Orchestra. The conductor is Eugene Ormandy.
Thank you.
That was music by Tchaikovsky. We've been listening to the second movement that comes from his Symphony No. 1 in G minor, also known as the Winter Dreams Symphony. And probably before the winter's over, I will play at least one more movement from that symphony. That particular symphony is very significant because in some ways we can sort of call it the first Russian symphony. Anton Rubinstein, I mentioned he was a pianist, he was also a composer. He had written several symphonies already by the time that Tchaikovsky got around to this one, but Anton Rubinstein's musical style was so firmly rooted in that of essentially German Romanticism, primarily influenced by Mendelssohn, that there was nothing about the piece that identified it, or about his early symphonies that identified them as sounding, as being Russian or as sounding Russian. Whereas with Tchaikovsky, this was the first symphony that genuinely, by anybody, that genuinely sounded like a Russian piece. So, pretty important piece. That was the Philadelphia Orchestra, Eugene Ormandy conducting. It is 8:38. I think there were a couple of things I wanted to tell you about. Yes, there are. From the Huffington Post today, there is a wonderful, I think you'll find it, I don't know, just look up, look for images of the Grand Canyon snowstorm or snow. It snowed at the Grand Canyon on New Year's Eve, and there are a bunch of photographs on the Huffington Post today that were taken the day afterwards by a wide variety of people of the Grand Canyon. And, I have never seen pictures of the Grand Canyon with snow on it before. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's really, really amazing. Admittedly, you look at a lot of things, open cliff faces and things like that, and you say, oh, yeah, we got some of those around here at Lillooet, just not as many of them and maybe not as big. But they are very beautiful. I would also like to tell you about Comet Lovejoy, but I don't have time to tell you about Comet Lovejoy today anyway. I will try and remember to tell you about Comet Lovejoy tomorrow, especially since tonight we're supposed to have cloudy skies, but tomorrow is supposed to be clearing and hopefully clear skies overnight between then into Thursday, yes. So then I will tell you about Comet Lovejoy and where to look for it. Let's do some public service announcements. Do I have these in any kind of order? Not really, so we'll just take them as they are. The next general meeting of the Lillooet Legion is January 13th at 7 p.m. And don't forget, they have meat draws Fridays at 6:30 p.m., Sundays at 3:30 p.m. And if you'd like more information, you can get in touch with the Legion at 256-7332. The Lillooet Naturalist Society has its annual general meeting coming Saturday, January the 17th. That will be 2 until 3:30 p.m. in room 201 here at the Rec Center, and new and renewing members are welcome. Excuse me, I should have turned the microphone off for that. If you'd like more information about the Naturalist Society, you can go to the website at www.lillooetnaturalistsociety.org. The second concert in Lillooet Music's 2014-2015 concert series is coming up soon. That is happening this Sunday, January the 11th. It'll be at the Masonic Hall out on the Hop Farm at 7:30 p.m. And performing are the Wallach and Donnelly Duo. They are a piano and clarinet duo and play a variety of music, but concentrating largely on classical and jazz music. Tickets are $20 in advance for adults, $22 if you buy them at the door, $5 for students, and they are available from PharmaSave, KC Health, and IDA. And finally, a reminder that the Lillooet Landfill is accepting Christmas trees that have had all the decorations and tinsel removed. They accept them at no charge, and that is during regular hours through this Sunday, January the 11th. So your next opportunity is tomorrow, Friday or Sunday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., those 3 days, and then that will be it for them, accepting them at no charge. That's all I have for public service announcements. We're going to turn things over to Mozart and James Ennis now. Yesterday we heard the first movement of the Violin Concerto No. 5, and today I promised yesterday, and I remembered, that today we would hear the second and third movements. I mentioned yesterday the all of Mozart's violin concertos, all five of them, and there may be one or two others, but that's another issue, and we'll have to leave it for another day. But the five that are everybody accepts as being by Mozart, they were all written by the time he was 20 years old. He was still in living in Salzburg and in the employment of the Archbishop by the time that they were all written. There's a lot we don't know about the pieces, as that is to say, we don't know exactly when any of them were written. We don't know what order they were written in, if they were written for anyone specific to perform, that sort of thing. Anyway, the number five is in some ways the grandest of the bunch, although three, four, and five, they're all fairly good size pieces, about a half hour in length, roughly the same as his mature piano concertos, although these works are much earlier than the piano concertos. Anyway, I don't have a lot else to tell you about it. The second movement is, as usual, a slow movement in Mozart, a Mozart concerto, very beautiful. And then the third movement is a rondo, which is in the style of a minuet. So Mozart was kind of taking some inspiration there from composers like Johann Christian Bach and those who composed in what was known as the style galant, the gallant style, where it was common to end a symphony or a concerto with a minuet. But Mozart definitely gives it quite a twist here. In the middle of the minuet, there is a section that changes time signature and changes key signature and completely changes tempo and completely changes the mood. And it's this middle section that gives the whole concerto its nickname, Turkish. It suddenly takes on a rather exotic sound. I don't know if there's anything authentically Turkish about that at all. But to my ears, it sounds like it could equally be Hungarian or gypsy style music, but it definitely seems out of place in the midst of a minuet. But that's part of the genius of Mozart, that he was willing to try an experiment like that, and not just an experiment, but to have fun with the music and throw something unexpected at listeners. And I think they probably ate it up. So here is Canadian violinist James Ennis. He is not only playing but also directing the Mozart Centennial Orchestra in the music of Mozart.
Thank you. Thank you.
One of Mozart's little throwaway endings there. We've been listening to the second and third movements that come from the Violin Concerto No. 5 in A major, and that recording featured Canadian violinist James Ennis, and he was playing with and directing the Mozart Centennial Orchestra recordings that go back to, I'm trying to remember, I think 2006, because that was the 250th anniversary of Mozart's birth. Let's see, it's 9:04, and that's going to have to be it for today's edition of Snooze Button. I did have an encore for you. Tomorrow on Piano Wednesday, will almost certainly be playing something, I'm not sure what, but something performed by the great Spanish pianist Alicia de la Rocha, who I've been listening to a lot of lately and really, really enjoying her recordings. And I did have something lined up, but I think I'm going to give it a miss because we're already 4 minutes over time here, and I want to get Bobcat Logic on. So that's going to be it, but if you missed the weather at the top of the show, let me give you a quick recap. I'm just checking to see if we've got a 9 a.m. temperature update. We do. It has risen. The temperature has risen slightly, minus 5 degrees now. Environment Canada tells us it will be cloudy today with a high of plus 1. Tonight, cloudy, a low of 0, and tomorrow, clearing with a high of plus 3. And generally, warmish temperatures expected throughout the rest of the weekend, or throughout the rest of the week. I took a look at the Weather Network's 14-day trend, and, you know, that's pretty unreliable once you get about 3 days out. But at this point, they're just showing us for the next 2 weeks kind of very steady, flat daytime temperatures. Their temperatures slightly different from Environment Canada's, but daytime temperatures just a few degrees above the nighttime temperatures, nothing too extreme happening. Also, it was interesting to take a look at the jet stream map on the Environment Canada website that covers the northern two-thirds, I guess, of North America, and to see that whereas yesterday about three-quarters of the country, if not more, was covered in fairly frigid Arctic air, today, that's down to a mere two-thirds of the country covered in very frigid Arctic air, but it is gradually moving east, and things seems like things are breaking down, and so most parts of the country expecting somewhat warmer weather as we move through the week. Okay, thanks very much for listening. I hope everybody has themselves a great day.